Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you very much for joining us. We appreciate it. There were a couple of other important notes concerning the beginning of the baseball season last night. As I mentioned at the very beginning of the show, one of the young superstars, Childish Bambino, Juan Soto, he tested positive for COVID-19 hours before the home opener. And I'm not going to be bitter about that anymore. It's my fault. It's my fault for putting the DraftKings lineup in too early. Nobody to blame but me. And I didn't check it.
Let that be a lesson.
Lost track of time.
COVID.
Oh no! You gotta
ride those lineups, ride those bets.
Right.
I mean, you gotta wait all the way to the end, man.
Yeah, and then in another lineup, never again, Jake. Never again. And you know what I'm gonna say, don't you?
Kyle Busch.
No.
Oh, okay.
I had Kershaw in one of them.
Oh no!
Never again.
Yeah, 2020.
I will never trust him again.
You had a rain delay, and you got Kershaw scratched last night.
Baseball's back. A sure sign that baseball's back. Clayton Kershaw on the DL. IL. Whatever L. I took the L. And so, look, that sucks about Soto, but hopefully get that out of the way. He can get back on the field soon. We have Stan Weber joining us in studio. Stan, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fine. It's very weird that I'm sitting in the captain's chair here, looking out with you two guys still on the radio and Jake here. Hey, I've hosted the show before back in the day, but this does seem a little weird that you guys are still with me and not in studio.
Nate's been banned from the facilities.
Ha!
That was last month. Now, what about today?
Yeah. It's the ban is back on, Stan.
Okay.
He sneezed in the hallway, so he's been banned for 2 weeks.
We lifted it, and then we reestablished it.
Yeah. You know, it's so funny you say that, because if I've ever gotten close to wanting to sneeze in the last 4 months, I thought, there is nothing worse that I could do in the world. I mean, it's murder, then sneezing.
Well, and then coughing.
And I just, like, how do you, like, swallow it back and hold on? And so far, I've been pretty good at it. I mean, I don't think I've sneezed out there. In the world, anywhere. I think I've just somehow found a way to bury my face or whatever
I've
done.
Even with the mask on, you know, you sneeze or cough, and you know, everybody's like, oh, hey.
No, I've seen those videos. It still comes out of your mouth. It's just a matter of where it goes, you know, out the sides. Anyway, it's funny that you say, if you sneeze, that is a really, really bad thing to do. And I've noticed it over the last 4 months.
Nate's a bad boy. We're going to talk. We were talking baseball, so we'll continue that talk, Stan.
Awesome.
And for people that don't, I'm gonna try to briefly go over this new playoff format. So in case people didn't read up on it too much last night, this is what the new playoff format will look like for this year. All first and second place teams in the six divisions qualify, and the division winners sliding in as each league's top three seeds. In addition to the three second-place teams in each league, the seventh and eighth seeds will go to the remaining teams in each league with the best records. Tiebreakers will be set up so that no additional games will be necessary. The first-round matchups will be best-of-three series with all three games played in the higher seeds' ballpark. From there, things pick up as usual with the division round, a best of five, and the league championship series and World Series, both best of seven. So all of the first round matchups will be best of three series with all three games played in the higher seeds ballpark, so no travel day there, and just it'll be in one location, a three game series, and that's how they will determine the eight playoff teams in each league. All the first and second place teams in the divisions qualify. And then the two remaining teams in each league with the best records will be the seven and eight seeds. Before we ask Stan, Nate Bucati, Jake, and then Stan, any comments specifically about that format? and how they'll handle the expanded playoffs this season.
I like the idea that in these three-game series, they're all on the higher-seeded team's home field, because that, you know, home field advantage is not as great, I don't think, in baseball as it is in a sport like, say, football. But it still is an advantage. Guys are used to playing in their home parks. They're used to the dimensions. They build their team around those dimensions. And I want the higher-seeded teams to have an advantage. I want there to be a reason to really want to finish higher in the standings. So I like that part of it.
The real question is that I think needs to be sorted out. The fairness issue comes in the second-place teams. All the first-place teams are going to be in the playoffs. All the second-place teams are going to be in the playoffs, no matter what their record is. If your division's really bad and your record's really bad as a second-place team, you're automatically in the playoffs. It's only the third-place teams that you look to find out who the seventh and eighth seed are. So my question is, that what I have not heard yet, and Stephen, you didn't say there, is when you go to seed your fourth, fifth, sixth teams, how are they going to do that? Because it's a big difference being the fourth seed and the fifth seed. That's the hair split. You go, is this really fair that the fifth-place team has to play all their games, all three games at the fourth seed? How are they deciding that? Is it just overall record?
Let me see. I retweeted a million things last night. Let me see if I can let's see.
But overall, while you're looking at that, I think it's great. It was great news last night. First of all, it was great to see baseball. It was so exciting to see a real sport, a real major sport going at it. Then knowing that Cleveland and the Royals play tonight, and you get a chance to see the Royals play baseball here very soon. There's going to be very few breaks. We're on for it. And then you read the Major League Baseball and the players who have been chastised for not being able to do anything right, not getting along, and all of that. And they pop the message out right as the first game's being played, hey, we're expanding the playoffs. And that's a nice thing. I mean, I can understand traditionalists, and there's always two points of view. I have no problem with some of the things that they would say. But for me, it was more exciting to say we're going to have more teams. One of the things is that baseball is about a grind. It's over 162 games. Who can be the best team over the long haul to get the right to play in the playoffs? And with 60 games, you have no long haul. So this is a way of saying we're going to give a lot of teams a chance because you didn't get to prove it over the long haul who the best teams were. And we're going to give you somewhat of a second chance. We're going to get these three-game series. And it's going to be a little bit like basketball where the playoffs will be pretty cool, and you can start watching if you don't want to watch until then. But I think it values the other 60 games, and I'm just so excited that they're pulling this off. They're playing it in a legitimate way that is a beacon for all of us, because NBA, they're in a bubble. You know, you can't bubble up the world. So that's cool that they're doing it, but it's not realistic. Realistic is playing games in real stadiums, traveling, living life, and working around COVID, and Major League Baseball is about ready to get us going doing that.
Now, here's a couple of retweets of people from last night that I had. Jeff Passan tweeted out, seeds 1 through 3 will go to the division winners based on record, then 4 through 6 to the runners-up based on record, 7 and 8 will be based on record. Thus, there's a possibility the third-best division winner actually plays a worse team than the two best division winners. Tiebreakers, as I mentioned before, they're going to have tiebreakers, so they don't have to play any extra games. It's going to be the MLB tiebreaking rules for playoff berth, record in head-to-head, then record in division, then record in the last 20 division games, and then record in the last 21 division games, and on and on, and that's how they determine the tiebreakers.
It's going to value every game, just like the NFL. You know, it's if you're in second place and the first place team is way ahead of you, the first place team still wants to have the best record in baseball to be the number one seed. And if you're in a second place team, you want to beat the other two second place teams. So you create your own cross race rather than vertical race. So the NFL does it the best by far. And Major League Baseball this year is going to have some of the same aspects as we get down to the end of the season.
We've got Stan Weber in studio back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you very much for joining us. Stan Weber's in the studio with us. We have Nate Bucati and Jake Gutierrez. My name is Stephen St. John, and the Royals finally are back in action tonight in Cleveland. After last night, we saw the Yankees beat the Nationals 4-1, and then the rain shortened the game, but it was official. It was completed, and so Yankees win 4-1, and then the Dodgers beat the Giants 8-1 in the nightcap. And tonight, Royals, Indians just after 6 o'clock in Cleveland with Danny Duffy on the mound facing Shane Bieber. And so Royals and Indians tonight just after 6 o'clock, and baseball is back. Also, looks like Matt Harvey is going to be a Kansas City Royal. So that's certainly interesting, but hopefully they can get him back to being a serviceable starting pitcher. But always wonderful memories of Matt Harvey not pitching for the Royals, but pitching against the Royals. Hey, Stan, let's have some fun with football. How about that? I know it's opening day, but there is something I wanted to talk to you about with the Chiefs. We can get into no preseason games and an 80-man roster limit and things, but did you happen to see, Jake, I sent you this sounds, we'll play this for you, for Stan. Did you happen to hear Tyreek Hill yesterday on ESPN, Stan Weber?
I did not. I saw a race that he had with some old players, but I did not hear this.
Okay, so Tyreek Hill, let's play the Tyreek Hill clip for Stan. And the race, by the way, he Ocho Cinco and also T.O., and maybe if there's an injury to somebody or something, maybe
T.O. looked good.
Yeah, come on. Andy Reid's got history.
Still got those washboard abs.
No kidding. He did look very good. But anyway, Tyreek Hill was, I think, on First Take yesterday, and he had a few different things to say, and they were asking him about Chris Jones, I think, in his prediction earlier this week that the Chiefs would win 5+ rings in the coming years. And so, look, they're all feeling good. I don't know what you think about these types of predictions. I'm here for it, but let's hear what Tyreek Hill had to say yesterday on ESPN.
Well, I'm not going to say he's telling a fib, you know, but Chris Jones, he's definitely a man of his word, you know, and we're definitely creating something special here in KC. So I don't see why not. Why say 5? Why not go 7 rings? You know what I'm saying? So right now we just chasing joy. You know what I'm saying? So that's what we do. So I'm going over 5, and I'm saying 7.
Why stop at 5, Stan? Why not shoot for 7? Stan.
Defending Super Bowl champions, a lot of enthusiasm. Chris Jones has 60 million guaranteed reasons to be happy about life. So they do have Patrick Mahomes. They have Andy Reid. They're the favorites, but there have been plenty of dynasties that have not won a ton of Super Bowls. I think the Steelers are very happy with their 4. It's a pretty incredible number right there. And we start thinking about the Patriots, and I've spoken about this on this show before. The Patriots help us open our minds of what can happen. So I think having a great example right before them, maybe they can get after it, but the odds just aren't with them. I guess the Chiefs players don't remember that they were behind in every playoff game, and they were in bad situations. That's how quickly it can slip away. You know, they might not have won every one of those games. If Chris Jones' arm wouldn't have went up right at the right spot and knocked down that football from Garoppolo, I propose to you the Niners would have got the first down and went on and won the game. So it's no disrespect to the Chiefs and how great they are. It's just hard for every play to work in the playoffs to avoid injuries during the regular season and win Super Bowls. So I don't want to devalue this one, guys. I do not want to act like this is easy and let's move on 2, 3, 4, and 5. 1 is pretty exciting and pretty unbelievable.
I'm with you, and look, I don't mind. These guys are having fun, and they deserve it. They won the first championship in this town for 50 years, but so many people talk about, can they win 4, and can they win the 5, and that's why I was so happy and so focused on the Chiefs re-signing Chris Jones and bringing back this nucleus. And it sounds dumb to say this, but it's true. You got to win 2 before you can win 5. You got, you know, you got take care of business now. It's going to be great to talk about that if they can rattle off a couple over the next few years, but they got a chance right in front of them, a great chance to repeat and go back to back. And you got to take, you got to crawl before you can walk. And with what they've done in the offseason, if this NFL season comes off, they've got every opportunity. Jake, I'm not going to throw money on them to win it all. I won't, unless it's through you, maybe, because you have the Midas touch.
Let's do it.
Everything you touch, it turns to gold. But my point is, they come back with everything they've got, every opportunity in the world to win back-to-back, and then we can start talking and having fun. But you know what? They deserve it. Like you said, they went on a run that we'll remember for the rest of our lives. They got one, and yep. They ain't done. And back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. One other thing I wanted to bring up, and I wanted to see if any of you fine gentlemen heard this on the program with Soren Petro. Did you hear when Carl Peterson was on the show this week with Soren?
I did not get to hear it.
I didn't either.
What if you would have been talking soccer? Would you have heard it then?
Oh man, two, three times by now,
right? So
I haven't meaning to go back and listen to it because I want to hear it.
Okay, so and this is a true statement. I loved it. I could have listened to, if it would have been 4 hours with Soren and Carl Peterson, I would have listened to it. I know Carl Peterson gets criticized for his inability to get the quarterback position right and get the Chiefs ultimately to the Super Bowl, but especially now that the Chiefs won a Super Bowl, I always look back at those years and with happiness. They make me happy because that was, you know, I was a football fan, but I fell deeply in love with football when Carl Peterson and Marty Schottenheimer took over this team, and that was my, I mean, when they took over, I was in high school, and that's just, it's just that. That represents a great times in my life watching the Chiefs, even though there's a lot of heartbreak. But he said something that was so on brand that I laughed out loud, and then I went back and listened to it again, and it was just so on brand for Carl. So Soren asked him, it was about 10 minutes into the interview or so, what he thought of the Patrick Mahomes contract, what his reaction was he surprised by the length and by the amount? And I don't know if he was kidding or not. Maybe he would try to, but I don't think he was kidding. Did you hear what his? You didn't hear it, but Stan, you didn't hear it. Did you? Did you hear what his response?
I did not.
What would his? What do you think his response would be when asked about it? What was your reaction to the big contract? You think he'd say it was great? I would imagine like anyone would that has any ties to the Chiefs. This is fantastic. He said. And I'm paraphrasing here, and we can get the clip later if we want, but he said, my first reaction or my main reaction was, I'm sure glad my name isn't on that contract representing the Chiefs.
What?
And I was like, what? And I go, wow. and I'm like, there it is. That just plays into the complaints of Chiefs fans for all those years that he was so averse to going out and drafting a quarterback and building with I don't know. And maybe I'm taking away too much from him, but I kind of guffawed. I go, oh, Carl, no. Wow. If you're a former GM, you should say, oh, I wish my name was on that contract. I wish I was a guy that was locking up Patrick Mahomes, and I'm sure he was talking about the money and the risk and everything else, but his reaction to Soren's great question was, well, I'm sure glad my name's not on that contract representing the Chiefs. And I still was like, what? Stan?
Well, like I've said other times on the radio, when I hear things said, I immediately try to understand what they might mean. And I understand that anybody who assumes anything in life and signs up somebody for basically guaranteed contract amounts that are going to trigger 2 years ahead of time for the amount of money they're talking about, and what happens if the pandemic overwhelms football for the next 5 years and you know we just don't have any normal life and the salary cap is half as big as it is and those kind of things. So I think he understands the business side. I think he understands cutting checks on the third day of the football season, of what it means to, you know, have a $45 million payment out to a player and things like that. So he's probably talking about the business side, the accounting department, where you come from cash flow, how you get money from banks, and not, oh, this NFL stuff's easy, they print money, and that whole mentality. I'm sure he comes from back where the sausage is made, but it's not apropos to what we know. Because before you went to the break, you talked about the Chiefs players being excited and talking about multiple Super Bowls. And you mentioned that you have to win number one before you can ever win number two, and here we go, and why wouldn't we be excited? And my response to that on the other side of Carl Peterson's statement, just on the complete opposite end, is one of the reasons you can talk about multiple Super Bowls for the Chiefs, not just, hey, they got a great team, they had a great team last year, and they're going to be a pretty good team this year. The reason why they're the same team coming back, and the reason why you can look to the future of being so excited about the Chiefs, is because Patrick Mahomes is your quarterback. And I'm not talking about the guy who throws the football. Okay, I got Patrick Mahomes right over my shoulder here with the football in his hand, ready to fire it on TV. And obviously him playing in the game is awesome. But we've said this week after week after week after week. I never doubted that he was not going to hold up the team and get every dollar for himself. He was going to make decisions that allowed the team to make other good decisions, to make the overall team better. Why did the Patriots continue to win? Because he had Belichick and Brady. But you know what? Brady kept renegotiating his contract over and over and over again to give them what they needed to go win more Super Bowls. And Patrick Mahomes has only done step one. He allowed Chris Jones to be a part of this team because of how he handled his contract. Okay? But you know what? He's going to do it about 10 more times. He's going to have his contract negotiated and renegotiated so many times. And why I'm so enthusiastic about the Chiefs being a big factor in winning a lot of Super Bowls or being right there to do it is because Patrick Mahomes is going to say in year 5, year 7, year 9, year 3, yeah, we can redo my contract. I'm not going to lose money. It's just going to be how it's going to work under the salary cap. I want this team to be great. I've said Patrick Mahomes is like an assistant general manager to the Chiefs. That's what he is, because he cares about the team more than himself. That's a giant reason to be excited about 2020 season and for 10 or 12 more years.
That's Stan Weber. Let's take a break. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38th The Spot. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Friday, July 24, 2020. Stephen St. John, Nate Bucati, Jake Gutierrez, and Stan Weber. It's opening day. Officially, opening night was last night, but opening day for everyone else, including the Kansas City Royals, today and tonight. Royals just after 6 o'clock in Cleveland to take on the Indians with Danny Duffy on the mound against Shane Bieber. And today is also a very noteworthy day in baseball history. What happened on this day in baseball history that Kansas City fans would remember vividly? Jake or Nate or Stan, anyone with a guess? Unless you've already cheated and looked on Twitter.
My first guess would be George Brett went over 400.
Hands in the air on second base.
Nate, is that your guess?
Well, I thought that moment came later in the season, like with a month to go or so, like in August.
You're correct.
That's what I thought too, but I don't know what the other event is.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what would happen. Was it the All-Star game in which we booed Robinson Cano for the home run derby?
This moment, and seeing how long ago it was, is another, boy, just another way to make me feel old today. Today, in 1983, George Brett unleashes his fury at Yankee Stadium in what forever will be known as the Pine Tar Incident.
I was going to guess that, but I thought that was
later
in the season, too.
Stan, he wasn't going to guess it.
He was not going to guess it because there's That's a soccer right. game coming up in a couple days that has him distracted. Now, how about that was an afternoon game?
Yeah,
it was not a night game.
George Brett was pissed though.
Oh, he was not
furious.
Happy.
He did not take long to get out of the dugout and get up to the umpire.
Good closing speed.
Right. And so that was a Sunday, July 24th, 1983, 37 years ago.
Can Good. I throw another one out at you, Stephen, about
yes.
feeling really old? This is totally tangent, off subject here, but I want to hear what you guys have to say. Some 30-year-olds were on a Zoom meeting with some older guys, my age guys, and something came up, and someone mentioned the San Diego Chicken. And every one of the 30-year-olds say, I have no idea who you're talking about. I've never heard of the San Diego Chicken. And we said, oh, my gosh, we were so old. We just really said, you've never heard of the San Diego Chicken. So I just wonder what you guys, your thoughts about that are.
We stood in line for 2 hours, me and my mom. I still have no idea why, at Royal Stadium, to meet the San Diego Chicken. Like, what am I going to say to him? He ain't going to talk to me. And I remember that the guy in the chicken costume was, I believe his name was Ted.
That's what I think, Ted
so
something.
Little smart-ass Steven was going to get up there and say, hey, Ted! You know, whatever. And so we waited and waited, and he was in where was he? Like, I want to say he was in front of the escalator, I think. And so we waited and waited, and I mean to tell you, we were three people away. And again, really don't know why I was in line that long. I was a little kid. My mom thought it was the right thing to do, and my dad, and I think this, my mom wasn't driving yet, and so my dad was going to pick us up at the ballpark because he used to drop me and my mom.
No cell phone,
there.
So you had to be on time. If you said,
right,
pick
right.
me up at 9, you better be out there at 9.
That's right.
That's the way it
and
used
so
to work.
Might as well yep. just wait. We'll just wait anyway, and then we get up there, and then the chicken leaves, and then it was over. And, boy, my mom was mad. And I was like, I was kind of disappointed, but I didn't even know what was going to happen. I know Jake probably would have loved to have met the San Diego Chicken.
Oh, it would have been a dream come true. I definitely would have harassed the chicken.
He used to put his beak over people's heads.
I would have probably punched him in his privates or kicked him in his rear or something like that.
Unnecessary.
That's what a young Jake would have done.
You talk about binge watching, right? Watching shows that you wouldn't normally watch and all that during COVID-19. Well, I actually watched a video of the first bowl game in K-State history, 1982. I was there in Shreveport. But I didn't remember the chicken being there. So when I watched this, the chicken was there. They hired him to come entertain. And one time a fumble fell on the ground about the 5-yard line going in, and he was in the end zone. And the play stopped. It wasn't really a fumble. It was just, you know, the play totally stopped. And the chicken, this is late in the game, ran up and grabbed the ball and ran 95 yards the other way. And then dove into the mud. And that's how we were talking about the San Diego Chicken. And the 30-year-olds are like, never heard of him, have no idea. So you might want to explain in your own words, Stephen, who are we talking about for those people out there listening or who are going, I have no idea who the San Diego Chicken is.
It was a chicken mascot that went around ballpark to ballpark. And when the San Diego Chicken was going to be at Royal Stadium, you better believe our ass was there.
It was like a sellout, and he wouldn't come out to the third inning. He was like a rock star.
My favorite chicken is the fact that he was part of Johnny Bench's baseball bunch.
Right, and he was good on that.
Right, he's great.
I mean,
that's my most vivid memory is from that show and him being on it. Of course, I remember being out of the ballpark and, you know, being from San Diego and my dad taking us up to games. But, like, I remember sitting down every Saturday. You watch Twib, and then you watch the baseball bunch, and the chicken was always on the baseball bunch.
He started out just as a mascot for one of the San Diego or both of the San Diego teams, right?
Padres.
And he did Chargers games. And then
very difficult to try to describe, like you said, try to explain why. Like, why is everyone excited to go see this mascot? That and Morgana the Kissing Bandit have been very difficult for me to try to explain. But do you remember when the chicken used to have my favorite gag? Remember, he used to bring out that eye chart for the umpire.
Yeah,
because they need to get their eyes checked because they're making bad right. calls out here.
Speaking of
Jake,
oh my gosh,
so, Stan, one of the this story. See if Jake and Steven remember this because you're talking about somebody who did not know who the San Diego Chicken was. Several years ago, we at Sports Radio 810 had a partnership with the semi-pro baseball team up in St. Joe. And we had a person that we worked with at the time who came to me, Steven, and Jake and told us that, hey, this team called the San Diego Chickens are coming to town, and apparently their mascot is going to be there. And I guess he's kind of a big deal. So do you guys want to do something around that?
Do you remember what the question was?
You want to have him on the air.
Yeah, you want to get him on the show.
They wanted that. You want to get the San Diego Chicken on the air? I said,
yeah,
would be great.
Yeah.
Make that happen.
Would you please? Let's do it.
I have heard his squeaky little voice, though.
Right. No, because and then Jake said, when are we going to tell him he doesn't talk? Don't worry about it. Just have him set up the interview. Maybe we're going to get an exclusive. I don't know.
But, yeah, the person thought that, that there literally was a team called the San Diego Chickens and that he was the mascot for that team. So
I'm trying to remember who. Was that Kyle?
No, it was – no.
We're not going to say names?
I don't know.
Well, you certainly are happy to.
Another perspective on this, because, Steven, you mentioned bringing out a big eye chart and standing in front of the umpire, right? Okay.
Yeah.
We're so involved in today's society in how mean we are to each other and all this. But people just don't understand how nice we are to each other compared to how it used to be. Okay, you said the San Diego Chicken did that. He had an act. The umpire would just laugh, right? And he didn't do it right after a bad call or anything. He just did it to be funny, right? How about when I was in college, Willie the Wildcat, the regular team college mascot, would go up to a referee during a timeout in a basketball game and do that to him. And usually well-timed after a controversial call. And no one thought it was any big deal. I mean, fans are like, he's just entertaining. You know, it's funny. But I go, wow, can you imagine today if Willie the Wildcat went over to the official after they made a bad call, after Bruce Weber yells at him a little while and then goes back to the huddle, and he walks up 2 feet in front of him with a big old sign, an eye chart.
I think we need more of that.
So it just reminds me, some of the things that we thought were okay back then, when Stepanovich accidentally shot himself in the foot, and you go around to the Big Eight games, everywhere he went, everyone had a cap gun. When he got announced to K-State, Mizzou was number one. Sunvolt and Stepanovich are rolling in as the number one team in the country when I'm in college, okay? Loved how those guys played. Didn't even know Sunvolt then, but I could tell he's just a great guy, everything else. So here they get announced, and Stepanovich comes out, and I mean, I think the 70-year-old ladies had cap guns. Pop, 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 pop. And just, you know, things like that happen all the time. And no one thought any big deal about it. I mean, people were so mean.
Well, that's why we still have Jake. Jake's still willing to do any and all.
Jake's laughing
things
right now. He's not on TV, but he's enjoying this.
I'm grinning ear to ear.
I just tweeted a nice picture, Jake, if you want to check that out on at SSJWHB. I think you'll enjoy. Wow.
Brings back some memories, doesn't it, boys?
It does. Man. Oh, what a great
game. Maybe not Jake. He may be too young, but
no, I remember. I remember the chicken.
He loves it.
I remember hearing about that basketball team from my father, which he was not a fan of Missouri. I'll just say that.
They were good.
Yeah, you could tell when Missouri was good, my dad was more angry, and when Kansas had the better team, then less anger within my father, but you knew how good Missouri was by how angry he would get and how much the officials were cheating.
Yeah, your dad would have certainly enjoyed the last decade or so. He would have been thrilled.
Mizzou was good enough at that time that I went over and watched KU versus Mizzou in Allen Fieldhouse as a student at K-State to watch Sunvolt play over there. And let me tell you, there were a lot of things that are different, and this really is showing your age. I don't think it was sold out. KU was not that good. Missouri easily won the ball game, if I remember right. It was a whole different thing. And Missouri did not have to worry about calls going against them. Bill Self or Roy Williams were not on the sidelines, okay? The calls went just fine for Mizzou that day. I remember. I was there. You might want to look up that score. Maybe I didn't remember the score right, but it seemed like Missouri had little problem winning when Sunvolt was a senior. Junior or senior.
Story. I like that one. Okay, Stan Weber, let's talk a little football while we've got you in studio today on the Border Patrol. The NFL Players Association team player representatives are scheduled to convene on a conference call this morning as the players work to finalize an agreement with team owners on the rules and finances of the 2020 NFL season, according to sources. And this is from the ESPN.com article from Dan Graziano. The sources said the two sides were still negotiating last night on at least three key points: rules for the training camp acclimation period, procedures via which players could opt out of the season for coronavirus-related injuries or reasons, and what would happen to the contracts if they decided to opt out due to coronavirus-related reasons, and how to handle the league's long-term finances and salary caps of future years in the wake of the projected 2020 revenue loss as a result of the pandemic. And they're trying to get everything wrapped up by the time teams report to camp, with the Chiefs and the Texans players scheduled to report this weekend and begin COVID-19 testing. So that is all those things are still on the table. But what we do know is what we thought was going to happen: no preseason games and a roster limit to begin things with of 80. What do you think of what's your reaction to that, Stan?
Well, I think it's fine that they have no preseason games and they want to ramp up and not extend themselves too much too early in camp and all of that. I'm fine. The preseason games are ripoffs to the fans anyway. Hey, I wish the Hall of Fame game were being played next week. You know, I'm fine with that. But I'm much more excited about 48 days from today. 48 days from today, the Chiefs are kicking off at Arrowhead. And I'm very optimistic that that's going to happen. The players tweeted out on Sunday and tried to create a stir. If it's J.J. Watt or Drew Brees, you know, they did a tweet fest so that ESPN would pick it up and make it sound like the NFL didn't know what they were doing. And I said the whole time, the NFL knows what they're doing better than anybody. I've always said that they will have their stuff in order. They thought through things. They haven't been sitting there quietly waiting. They know a lot of things. And that the players went after them, fine. It's fine if they want to talk about health and how much money they're going to get paid if they decide not to play. And those kind of issues are fine. But the NFL, immediately by the next day, had tons of answers about what's going to happen. The NFL is going to be fine. They're going to get through this and play games, and it's 48 days away. So that's what excites me. So I think these things need to be sorted out. Salary cap is a giant one that needs to be sorted out because they agreed in their collective bargaining agreement, if they had issues pop up, that they would go to the bargaining table and talk about it. They take a percentage of the revenues. The players get, I think, 48% or something like that of all revenues as defined for the NFL, and the revenues are going down this year. But they could come in and say, let's just borrow ahead and let's keep the salary cap the same, even though mathematically it shouldn't. And then in the future, when it mathematically should go up, let's keep it the same. I think they'll sort that out. It'll make all the sense in the world. You won't see dramatic salary cap changes in the future. That's well done. The fact that there's only 80 people on the roster, there's no need to have all the up to 90 and all that, because the preseason was really there for the guys who weren't proven, who were not draft choices, who were guys off the scrap heap, maybe getting a second shot at the NFL. To play well in the preseason, earn yourself a job and on the roster. With no preseason games, they're really not going to have that chance. So you ought to be able to define your roster more quickly. I think it'll be very interesting to see where they stand on how they're going to handle players that are not able to play. And I want to point out, anything that I say about this, if it sounds hard, I'm a president of a company that had up to 4%, about 4% of our employees had to come to work every day to be valuable. They couldn't work at home at a computer. That's not the type of job they had. 4% of those people had to come to work to get paid, and because they had compromising situations, we called them, I called them and said, don't come to work, you're getting paid 100%. Don't come to work. So I truly do care about people's health, and I think it does matter a lot, and those people were paid. They begged to come back. They said, can I come back? I'll try to work really safely and all that. I work outside. Can I come back after a couple months? But we paid them 100% of their pay, and they didn't come to work, and therefore didn't, did not create value. But that's what I think about it. But for the players, if they start asking for anything close to their regular pay, which is fantasy pay, okay, because you play a fantasy game, you've got the great ability to play sports and get paid hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars, I think they should pay them, but I think the numbers ought to be pretty low. They ought to, if they can't play, that's fine for their health. I'm totally comfortable with that. But they ought to make sure that it doesn't burden the NFL and cause a bunch of extra dollars to be spent just because they're inconvenienced or that they, you know, they have relatives who are in a situation. I respect all of that, but I could pay 100% of their pay because it didn't knock over the whole company. But for the NFL, I think that, you know, way low numbers, 50,000, 100,000, whatever you want to pick, something fairly low to say, if you can't play, we're going to pay you. And oh, by the way, that is a living wage. Go talk to all the fans. There's a lot of fans out there who would love to make $100,000 or $50,000. So I do think they deserve money. They deserve health insurance and all of that. But I don't think they deserve a big percentage of their pay if they don't come and play.
So, hey, guys, I was thinking about this last night when, you know, Soto tested positive for the Nationals. And I think I've lost track, but I think we're up to seven guys for the Royals that have tested positive.
Eight Royals now.
Eight now. So in baseball, they got a 60-man taxi squad. And what I've seen so far, unless I've missed it, I've seen that they're allowing 80 people in training camp for the NFL season. But we're talking about how the preseason is really the time for young guys who are unestablished in the NFL to try to, you know, prove that they belong on an NFL roster, to earn their way, all those things. And we're going to be missing out on that because the preseason is pretty much not going to happen. Aren't we going to need a whole reservoir of players that can be available in case you have eight players test positive for the Kansas City Royals? For the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, if there's 60 guys on the Royals and eight of them have already tested positive before the season, if you have 80 guys for the Chiefs, don't you have to assume that 8 to 10 of those guys would figure to test positive at some point? And then you get into the season, if you have 4 or 5 guys test positive, are you going to be able to play a game? Like, why not expand the roster by up to 60 or more? Give extended, low-paying jobs, relatively speaking. I'm talking whatever the practice squad guys get. Expand those numbers, I mean, by a lot, because that gives you a longer time to look at all those young guys. It helps the teams out. It covers up for that lack of preseason, and it gives you a little bit of a buffer. I mean, we have to go into this assuming there's going to be positive tests and a relatively high amount of positive tests because there's not a bubble in this situation. Why wouldn't the NFL do that? It seems like that would solve a couple of problems for them.
And the other problem that it would solve that would be brilliant is that in the NFL, their roster is not that large, and having a practice squad helps. But still, there are a number of players, even some starters, who emulate the opponent on one of the days. Wednesday's offensive day and Thursday's defensive day in the NFL, okay? And they don't have big rosters like college. Like in college, the offense goes down to one end of the field and the defense goes to the other, period. You don't ever, if your buddy's a defensive player, you're never practicing with them, okay? There's plenty of extras who play the role of the opponent. But in the NFL, they actually get together and walk through and practice and do some things, and you emulate the opponent. So if you got a starting offensive lineman for the Chiefs, you may have to act like you're the Denver Broncos offensive lineman. Well, guess what that does? Exposes you closely with that defensive lineman in the area, breathing and all the things that seem to be dangerous. You get to do it for practice. If you had practice squad guys, more of them, like you're talking about, Nate, you would take those starters and say, socially distance and stand over there on the sideline. Because you do not need to act like you're a Denver Bronco today. We got some other guys to do that. And you would limit how much exposure your best players have to COVID-19. But I think one thing that's interesting to look at is every time the Royals tell us they have a positive, what happens? So far, they tell us that player is out for a while. But they don't contact Trace and tell us 15 more guys can't play or 5 guys more can't play. Okay? What's up with that? That is the biggest thing here. If you wonder what's going to happen in college football, there's the biggest reconciling item. If you say a COVID, Salvador Perez is COVID. He can't play for 14 days or whatever, 10, whatever it is. He's out. But if you don't make 5 other or 10 other players sit out, Royals baseball can roll on, right? But colleges right now, I think, are saying if a player has COVID, he looks at everybody he's been around and they get sat out too. Guilty until 14 days later. Even if you don't have it, even if you test and you don't have it, they say, just in case, you can't play. If you do it that way, Nate, we have no season. There will be no college football. But the thing I think that's key about Major League Baseball right now is when someone gets stated as positive, we pull only that person out. Is that really how we're going to do this in American sports? If we are, we're going to play all of them. If we contact Trace and sit down half the roster, we're not going to play any sports. So there's the biggest reconciling item in sports. It appears Major League Baseball is doing it in a way that's going to work.
Stan Weber is our guest. Let's take a break. It's Friday. It's opening day, July 24th. Baseball is back. Royals baseball is back. We will be back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Opening day is here. And the Royals are back in action tonight. First pitch just after 6 o'clock between the Royals and the Indians in Cleveland. Danny Duffy and Shane Bieber are your starting pitchers. And looking at the lineup, see, the first game that we can watch is 3 o'clock. Between the Braves and the Mets. Mike Soroka and Jacob deGrom, hell of a pitching matchup there. And so baseball. And last night, of course, you had the rain-shortened game between the Yankees and the Nationals. It is official. Yankees won 4-1. And the Dodgers beat the Giants 8-1. And that's one other note that could have come into play last night when they were trying to make it an official game despite the rain. Jason Stark tweeted out, and so this will come into play at some point, in case torrential rain hits before this game is official, remember there's one more new rule this year. This game would not be rained out. It would be suspended, and all stats would count, and they would finish it on Saturday. And so if that they would have to stop that game in the third or the fourth inning. It wouldn't have been rained out. It would have been suspended. The stats would have counted. And then they would have finished the game on Saturday. So it didn't come into play last night because they were able to make the game official. But that will happen between now and the end of the season, I'm sure, a few times. Stan Weber is our guest. Stan, I know we were talking football, but we've asked every guest the last couple of days, give me a win total for the Royals in this 60-game season. How many wins? The Vegas over-under, Jake, did we establish 25 or 24
We're going
and a half?
24 going and a with? Half. That's current.
Jake,
when I looked up 25, that was at the beginning of the week. Honestly, I think it dropped down half a game when Hunter Dozier tested positive, honestly.
Well, 24 and a half it is, Stan. Do you like the over or the under?
With a new announcement last night that Major League Baseball is going to allow 8 playoff teams from the American League, I think the Royals are going to be excited to go after that opportunity, and so I'm going to raise their win total up. I'm going to say 27 wins and make the playoffs as the 8th seed.
Oh. Nate Buchanan, you're responsible.
I'll take it. I will take it, baby. Let's go.
I like Salvador Perez. He's my man. The joy he brings, the leadership, I'm really into, you know, quarterbacking that you see is all about making plays, but it's much more than that. It's about pulling your team together, the little things you do in a locker room, on the field, being a leader. You can make everyone around you better. The best quarterbacks absolutely make the other 10 players that are on the field better and even can make the defenders better. It's just something magical. You're given that right. And it's even more important in baseball because when that guy's on the mound, that starting pitcher, that's his one day in 5 days. His whole life is so focused. And you need to manage him through that. Not only call the right pitches, get him. Don't let him get distracted. Find his rhythm. Find what works for that guy on the mound. If you can do that, the chances of your team winning go up tremendously, and catchers can actually do that. Great catchers can actually do that. Protect them from getting mad at the umpire. Get them a few extra strikes. Just work their way through the game, and I think Salvador Perez does that. And he has a chance as a catcher to affect the team, maybe even more than a quarterback, from a psychological way to make a difference that way. And so I'm a big Salvi guy. He's back.
Salvi loves baseball as much as you love football, Stan.
Yeah, I respect that. I mean, I guess maybe that's why it's so, you know, like Dick Vitale, you can hate him or not, but his love of basketball is so real that I am all in with him. But you got to do the second thing. Okay, here's my second part of that. You got to respect the other sports. Just because you love your sport so much, that's fine. But if you close your eyes to the other sports and you do not care about them, then you lose all respect for me. And that's what I like about Dick Vitale is he loves basketball like you can't believe if you look at the history of what he's done throughout his life. But then when you want to talk about another sport, he's enthusiastic. And I saw Salvador Perez. I met Salvador Perez. Very unlikely that I would do that, but I met him. You know where I met him, guys? Kansas City Chiefs football game.
Yeah.
I met his wife and a little son. And we were down underneath near where the pictures where you see Mahomes and Andy Reid going to the locker room after a game up the tunnel. There's right by the locker room. There's midfield. Now a new, what is that called, a bar area or whatever? Well, I was right over there by that. And Salvador Perez was right there. He was going to bang the drum or something that day. But I sat there and talked to him and just thought this was awesome. I mean, how excited he was about the Chiefs game. The guy loves baseball more than anybody alive. And still has respect for the other sports. That's the guy I want to hang out with.
Stan Weber.
Because I love me some baseball right now. I mean, I love sports. And
you
tonight,
love sports, and you can't wait
Kansas
to watch sports,
City
right, Stan?
Versus Cleveland. I can't wait.
Stan?
Yes.
What about a 10 p.m. kickoff for Sporting Kansas City on Sunday? Can we get you to buy in on this one?
Well, I got to get to work pretty early on Monday morning. Oh, and so, you know.
Nate, sell it. Sell it, Nate. Sell it hard.
I respect Nate's sport, too. See, this is another thing. I want to point this out. I respect his love for it, and so I think it's awesome that he's excited about it. I was more excited about the Kansas Shrine Bowl and actually seeing a real football game and getting it broadcast it. And a lot of people don't care about a little Kansas All-Star football game with 72 players. But to me, it was one of the greatest things ever to see him actually play football, actually have fans in the stands and all of that. So, again, I want to state, just like I did about Salvi, I am very respectful to the people who love the other sports. So, Nate, the floor is yours.
Well, the one thing I'll say is now we get to knockout round soccer. And to me, that's when soccer becomes really, really tense and exciting, is when it's win or go home. And every goal means so much. So that's my sales pitch. It's
so no
really
more
great
ties.
Drama. It's,
they'll have a
no
shootout
ties.
At the end. Is that what they'll do?
Yep. They'll go extra time and some overtime. I imagine they'll go to a shootout.
Yep.
What's the?
Can you tell us what the rules are so Gary Lezak will know
right
when he gets on here in a little bit?
You know what? It's actually a good point. I need to research and make sure I know what the typically a
if
knockout
the game's
round
tied nil nil after 90 plus minutes, whatever they play. Then what happens? We need to know.
So in a typical format, they'll play an extra half hour of overtime. They'll play two 15-minute halves of overtime. And then if it's still tied after that, they'll go to penalty kicks. And so,
five penalty kicks or 10? How many?
You go five. Best of five.
And if it's tied after that, what happens?
Sudden death.
Yeah, just one and one and one and one.
Yep.
Got it.
Yep. So
it's you don't know if that's the way it's going to happen at the COVID tournament?
Well, I need to make sure, because in some competitions, they don't do overtime until you get to the last game. In some competitions, they go straight to penalties.
I believe that's the case.
I confess, I don't know that yet. I need to look that up, obviously, before.
I think I remember that it's going. I think it's going straight to, unless it's the final match, I think they're going straight to penalties in the knockout round.
Hey, Jake, could you contact Sporting and book someone from Sporting to explain this to us?
Yeah,
maybe the play-by-play guy or the color commentator, one of them.
He hasn't had any time to study this issue, getting ready for this tournament.
Well,
so,
I mean,
know.
Nate loves soccer more than anybody else that I know, even me, I guess, according to Nate. But knockout stage presented by Audi, knockout round matches that finish tied at the end of regulation will proceed directly to a penalty kick shootout. So.
And then in the final, will they do overtime?
That just says,
In the final,
so.
I think it's actually hand-to-hand combat.
That just says, that's the knockout stage rule. So I imagine that that's
a lot of times in
it.
Competitions like this, if you know, because this is the round of 16, in order to save the player's legs, they're going to have to turn around and play in a few days later. They'll just go straight to penalties. But then if you get to the final, they'll play the 30 minutes of overtime and then do penalty kicks. But yeah, so that makes sense.
Do these games count as regular season? The round of 16?
Nope, these do not.
Nope.
So some of those other games did count as regular season games. It was
all three of them.
Two birds with one stone.
Yep, all three of them counted for the group stage.
Okay, and I need something to be clarified right now.
Okay, we'll do our best for you.
Someone from Twitter someone on the text message sent in, is this information correct that Nate is giving us, or is it like when he was on Petro's show a few days ago? What happened on Petro's show a few days ago?
Well, he was asking me for all the scenarios about where Sporting would end up, and I was having a tough time.
Tell the truth.
I was having a tough time keeping it straight.
What happened?
Because... Well, they were in a situation where if they finished in first place, they were going to play on Tuesday against one team, and if they finished in second place, I just got it wrong again. If they finished in first place, they were going to play on Sunday against the possibility of three different teams, and if they finished in second place, they were going to play on Tuesday against Columbus. And I kept getting the days and the teams transposed. It was a mess.
Stan, does that clear things up for you? Are you ready for 10 o'clock on Sunday night now?
I want to be positive about this stuff. Do not get me started about how many trophies there are to win during a year and these competitions and stuff. I can't keep track of any of it. So whatever Nate says, I trust.
Apparently,
in soccer.
Nate can't either.
here's my counterpoint to that about the trophies. If you play college basketball, how many trophies can you win in a season?
You could win three.
Yep, and if you play in a preseason tournament,
you get a regular season trophy too. You could win four.
Yeah.
Four. I'm going to guess four. Is that the right answer?
That's as far as I know. I think so. If you play in a preseason tournament, you can win your conference regular season, conference tournament, and then try to go win the
NIT?
National title or the NIT. So kind of similar.
Yeah, I guess you could look at it that way. My brain doesn't spin that way, but that's okay. Jake,
how many college football trophies are there?
Nate, Stan's brain doesn't spin that way. All right.
Well, you win a trophy if you win like the Insight Bowl, right?
Yes, so that's two. You win your conference championship, and then you go and win a bowl game.
Well, you could win the regular season conference championship.
You could win three
and
if
then
you're
you
a national champion.
Well, you could win the conference regular season championship, and then you can win the conference playoff game. Like, do you play the Big 12? Didn't they have a regular season winner? And then you could win the...
If Mizzou beats Arkansas, they get the Battle Line trophy.
But there you go.
Oh yeah, there's a trophy
when there used to be
season.
Divisions in the Big 12. You got a trophy.
The Big
to win
10,
for your
the
division,
Big 10 can
you?
Win a lot of trophies. It seems like Minnesota every other game is a trophy
Paul
game.
Yeah, that's right.
or should I say, when Missouri beats Arkansas, they get the trophy. It's not really.
Oh wow!
hey, let's get this rivalry going. That's been forced upon me. What? Nope.
It's so natural.
How
isn't
was the Shrine Bowl,
natural?
Sam?
The Shrine Bowl was awesome. I got a chance to go in and speak to each team before the game. So it was amazing. They followed safety protocol, even though they're probably 18 years old. They throughout the week they were together, starting, I think, Sunday or Monday, all the way through the game on Saturday night in Topeka. They were like the most disciplined, grown-up, mature people following every rule and regulation with their masks and social distancing, sitting on the same seat on the bus every time, a lot of different things. And the coaches just raved about it. Now, the Shrine Bowl is awesome because strong legs run so weak legs can walk. It's all about trying to create contributions and money and creating value so that that goes into the Shriners Hospital so that if you have a child that has needs a prosthetic or some kind of creation made, they can do that. St. Louis has a Shriners Hospital and it costs you nothing. You get to go for free. That's one of the coolest things about the Shriners. And this is my 34th year of getting to do their ball game, to broadcast it after I played it earlier in my life. To do this every year is just incredible. And to find a way when you're 18 years old to do something you love, play football, and for it to be a positive and create money for the great cause is awesome. But this time, it meant even more than that. Because everyone talks about the college football players are not represented. They don't have a union. They don't have a voice. They don't even get to be asked, do you want to take risks? Well, you know what? We should ask the players. I told you guys this 2 months ago. Ask the players. They want to play. They want to play. They're willing to take the risk. They take the risk in a lot of ways. They're working out. So these Shrine Bowl kids, 72 different kids and parents had to sign off waivers of COVID risks. And were they in for a whole week staying with each other and all of that? And the answer was yes. The smiles on their faces were awesome. There were fans in the stands. It looked like football. It felt like football. And the joy it created for those people involved and the money it created for other purposes like Shriners Kids is just all thumbs up. So anybody who wants to be a critic, you know what? A lot of people hate sports. Not people listening on 810. A lot of people hate sports. So if they're all over us and tell us why we can't play Major League Baseball or MLS or college football or high school football or whatever, I don't care what they say. You know, there are plenty of critics. There are Little League games going on everywhere. The Shrine Bowl was awesome. So if those that got a chance to watch it, hope you enjoyed it. But, man, there was just joy everywhere. Football, it was fun, it was safe, and there were fans. So it made me so excited, so optimistic. I'm 100% in. The NFL's going to do it, man. 48 days from today, the Chiefs are kicking off, and we're rolling. Now, the question is, if 42 days from today, will K-State, KU, and Missouri be playing? And even 35 days away, will week zero start with college football? A lot more questions on that front, but the NFL, they got their act together. They're going to roll. They're going to play a whole season, and I'm excited about that.
Stan, I love sports.
You love all sports, Steven.
I do. I really do.
I know. You talk about ones I've never heard of before, but you do them eloquently. I heard you talk about Mike Tyson. I saw him sparring. So, hey, live sports. I'm so happy. Last night, Kansas Speedway had a race. It was the best It's the best NASCAR race that they've had at the Speedway. It was awesome. It was a really compelling race. We had golf. People don't like golf that much. Yeah, I can understand how it's boring. I like golf. It was live. It was real. I had golf yesterday. I had Major League Baseball doubleheader, real players playing. And we also had the race right here in Kansas Speedway. And tonight, Kansas City, Cleveland, Major League Baseball. I am so excited.
That's exactly right, and congratulations to Denny Hamlin for winning the Superstar Batteries 400 presented by O'Reilly Auto Parts. As you heard it live right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stan, have a great weekend watching sports, and we will talk to you next week, my friend.
Okay, guys. Have a great weekend.
That is Mr. Stan Weber. We will be right back with someone else who loves sports. It's Gary Lezak on Sports Radio 810 WHB.